Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I'm here working for you too.
Hey Gecko, can you record my voicemail greeting?
No problemo.
You've reached the amazing Rita. She's probably busy right now teaching music theory to neighborhood birds or telling a total stranger how they can bundle home and car insurance with Geico to get the discounts they deserve. But rest assured, she'll get back to you once she's done brightening her little corner of the world.
Did that sound all right?
Nailed it. No notes.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
Hey, everybody. I'm Ashley Banfield. Welcome back to another episode of Drop Dead Serious. Today was day 7 in the Karen Reed trial. I should say retrial. And we are back with Jennifer McCabe on the stand. Remember, Jen McCabe is the sister of the woman who threw the party at 34 Fairview Road. That homeowner's husband, Brian Albert, was a Boston cop, just like John O'Keefe, the victim, who died. And it was Jen McCabe who made the 911 call. And it was Jen McCabe who Googled how long to die in the cold with the infamous misspelling of the word how, written as hoss. This morning started off friendly with more questions from the prosecution. But by the afternoon, yeah, things took a drastic turn, as they do when cross-examinations get underway. It's all fine and dandy when you're dealing with a friendly, right? You're a prosecution witness and it's the prosecutor who's asking you the questions. Yeah, that part's the easy part. It's when the defense gets its chance to come at you. That's when things get tense. And the defense came out swinging, especially when things got personal and fast. I should mention to you that Jen McCabe did great. I mean, her attitude on the stand is like night and day compared to the last trial. She is holding it together. And by the way, that is really, really important because you have got to make sure that the jury doesn't see that you're one way when you get the friendly questions and another way when you get the not so friendly questions from the cross-exam. If the jury decides all of a sudden you're a changed person, they are just not going to believe as much as what you said the first time round. You just seem like a different person who can change on a dime depending on who's asking. So she's doing great. She's really keeping it together and keeping her attitude in check. But that also brings me to the defense lawyer, Alan Jackson. This guy's a master of his trade. I am not going to lie. I've been following Alan Jackson for almost 20 years, and he is one of the best in the business. But he probably knows this, but if he doesn't, hey, Alan, he needs to be careful. He's got to make sure he doesn't look like he is beating up a witness because the jury doesn't dislike her, right? It could be different. If the jury disliked Jen McCabe, then it's okay to beat up a witness. But until that time, and unless it happens, he's got to be careful and he's got to maintain a decorum that makes him look like he's trustworthy too. Right? And I don't know that we are anywhere near the point yet where Jen McCabe is disliked by this jury. But we got a long way to go. So let's get into it.
Karen, what would you like to say to Jen McCabe?
Make a hole, guys.
Make a hole.
Oh, I have nothing to say to Jen McCabe. I would say the dash cam and the 911 calls speak for themselves. If you want to know what the scene was like, just watch the video. Don't take anyone's word for it. Watch the video.
What can we expect from Cross?
A lot.
The special prosecutor in the case, Hank Brennan, was first up to bat today. And he was still on his direct examination of Jen McCabe, continuing from yesterday. And he went straight for the most infamous piece of evidence in this entire case. Jen McCabe's now notorious Google search. You know the one? Hoss long to die in the cold? Meaning, how long to die in the cold if you didn't miswrite the H-O-W to H-O-S? Prosecutor Brennan asked, quote, was this the first time that morning that you searched for that phrase, end quote. And Jen answered flat out, quote, yes, it was, after the defendant asked me to, end quote. The prosecutor, Brennan, then pulled up the 911 call that Jen McCabe made. And keep in mind here that the 911 call is not the best quality, but take a listen.
No, please just scroll up. What's your emergency?
Yes, I need someone from the third floor.
Before Jen gives the operator John O'Keefe's name or age, you can hear her tell the dispatcher, quote, "There's a man in the snow," end quote. So the prosecutor asked, "Why'd you say a man in the snow and not just John?" And Jen answered, quote, "I wanted to get out the most specific details fast. A man in the snow was faster than saying John." And then it was time for Karen Reed's defense attorney to take a crack at Jen McCabe. And the stakes couldn't be higher than cross-examining a star witness for the prosecution. Karen Reed's hotshot defense lawyer, Alan Jackson, kicked things off with a jab at Jen that got everybody's attention. Jen had to admit, under oath, that before she took the stand this time around, she's had 4 to 5 prep meetings with the prosecutors about her testimony. She also had to admit that she is good friends, maybe even best friends, with Carrie Roberts. Carrie was the second woman at the scene that morning, right? There was Carrie and Karen and Jen. And Carrie Roberts was also the first woman on the stand in this trial. You remember her testimony? Carrie Roberts told the court that she really didn't have much of a connection to Jen McCabe or anybody else in that house party that night. And it seems from Jen's cross-examination, that is not exactly the case. Karen's lawyer asked Jen point blank, when did she last speak with Carrie Roberts? And if she knew what Carrie Roberts testified to? And then Alan Jackson asked if any of Jen's testimony today was coached.
Good morning, Ms. McCabe.
Good morning.
When was the last time you spoke with Carrie Roberts before your testimony today?
She called me last night.
What did y'all discuss?
She asked if my daughters were going to be staying home from school today because her daughter would possibly join them.
Did you discuss anything having to do with your testimony?
Not my testimony, no.
Are you aware that she testified last week?
Yes.
We know that through her testimony that you had a conversation with her the morning that she testified.
Yes.
Right? Have you and Ms. Roberts ever discussed anything about either one of your testimonies, either in the last proceeding or in anticipation of this proceeding?
No.
So for the entirety of the last year, even though you both went through a proceeding last year where you both testified under oath and it was highly, highly publicized, neither one of you, your good friend Carrie Roberts, and you have ever discussed either of your testimonies between that time and this time?
No, we've discussed the case and we've discussed what happened that moment, the moments of the morning, but we have not discussed testimony.
What about any discussion about your demeanor and how you performed in the last proceeding?
Objection.
Sustained.
I'll ask it a different way. What about your demeanor? I'm using probably a poor word, perform, mm-hmm. How you came across, your demeanor in the last proceeding.
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you discuss changing your demeanor in any way, shape, form, or fashion from the last trial to, I'm sorry, the last proceeding to this trial, my mistake, from the last proceeding to this trial, was your demeanor ever discussed?
No, I was just told to slow down, answer the question, and, answer it to the best of my memory.
Was there any discussion about talking about your background, for instance, your family and your children and being a sports mom, as you talked about in your direct examination?
No, I believe I did that in the previous one as well.
Was there any discussion about crafting your testimony in any way to suggest a softer approach?
No.
Was there any discussion about how to develop your testimony from beginning to end?
Okay.
Sustained.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Karen's lawyer also clarified the two family trees in question in this case, Jen McCabe's family tree and the Alberts family tree. And Alan Jackson made sure to emphasize which members of that family worked for law enforcement agencies. Because if you're Karen Reed right now, it is incredibly important that the jury understands just how tight-knit these Canton families are and what their relationship dynamics look like.
Would you consider yourself to be close with your sister Nicole and Brian?
Yes, very close.
Your families, it's not just you and Nicole, your whole families are close, correct?
Yes, we have a very close family.
How long have you known Brian Albert?
Since I was in kindergarten.
You consider him, even though he is not blood related to you, you consider him family?
Yes.
In addition to Brian and Nicole Albert, you're also very close with Chris and Julie Albert, correct?
Yes.
Just to be clear, I'm going to do this slowly.
Okay.
Brian Albert's younger brother is Chris Albert, correct?
Yes.
Chris Albert is married to Julie Albert.
Yes.
You consider Chris and Julie family, even though there may not be a blood relation as well, correct?
Yes.
Chris Albert is a Canton Select Board member, is that right?
Now he is, yes.
And the Canton, that's in Canton? I said Select Board member. Did I mention Canton Select Board member?
It is in Canton, okay. Yes.
All right, obviously it's in Canton. The Canton Police Department reports to the Select Board, correct?
I'm not aware.
You're not aware of that echelon?
No.
Okay. You're aware that Brian Albert, your friend of, I'm not going to say how many years, but since kindergarten, was a Boston police officer.
Yes.
He had been a lifetime law enforcement officer for some 30 years before he retired recently, correct?
Yes.
He's a trained first responder, obviously.
Yes.
Brian Albert and Chris Albert have another brother named Kevin Albert, correct?
Yes.
Kevin Albert is a detective with a police department, correct?
Yes, I believe that's his title. I'm
100%. Which police department is Kevin Albert associated with?
Canton.
And you've grown up in Canton your whole life, you indicated.
Yes.
Your entire family has grown up in Canton, correct?
Yes.
Jen was also cross-examined about what happened on the morning John O'Keefe was found.
Well, what about on the morning of January 29th, when everybody was still in that sort of friends and family gathering inside 34 Fairview?
When I was there with my husband and sister and brother-in-law, and, you know, then Brian's friend and Julie Albert, I was trying to piece together what had happened. They were all being supportive. They had no idea what happened. We were just kind of sitting there in utter shock, waiting to hear from Kerry about John. It was nothing more than just us being together and trying to figure out what had happened. I had gotten a phone call from Karen to help her.
During that series of conversations, you were sharing what your observations of that evening were, what your story was, how the evening started, how it ended for you, correct? Or the morning ended for you, correct?
We didn't, no, I'm not correct.
During the time that you folks were inside the house discussing this, there was no law enforcement agent or officer inside that house, correct?
Correct.
So the entire family and the friend network that we're talking about, with whom you discussed all these events, everybody was entitled to and did coordinate their statements without any separation and without any law enforcement oversight, correct?
I was with my family. My sister, my brother-in-law, it wasn't really a big group of us. As I've mentioned, I had 5 or 6 people. I was in shock. I didn't know what had happened. They were just asking me what happened.
And
questions like that, and I absolutely told them. But it was no story. There was no us being allowed to do it. That was my family. They were just there with me.
But nobody was separated by law enforcement, correct?
I don't believe there was a reason to separate us.
Nobody. Well, notwithstanding what you think was the reason, you're not a professional investigator, correct?
I'm not, no.
You're not a trained investigator?
No.
You're certainly not a homicide detective, correct?
No.
None of you witnesses were ever separated, were you, that morning?
There was no reason to separate us.
I'm not asking you if there was a reason, okay? I'm asking you whether or not, factually, anybody was separated in that house. Or is everybody allowed to talk amongst themselves?
I was with my family. We didn't need to be allowed.
Okay.
Alan Jackson asked Jen McCabe what happened next when Jen McCabe went inside her sister's house to wake her sister up. Remember, that sister is Nicole Albert, and Nicole's husband is Brian Albert, Jen's brother-in-law. Karen's lawyer asked Jen McCabe very specifically why she failed to mention the family dog that was in the house that morning, Chloe, the German Shepherd. Alan Jackson grilled Jen McCabe about her testimony from earlier that day, when the prosecutor had Jen walk through exactly what happened when Jen enters her sister's house.
Brian Albert and his family had a dog on January 29th, 2022, did they not?
Yes, they did.
What was that dog's name?
Chloe.
What kind of dog was Chloe?
A German Shepherd.
Was it do you know if it was a purebred German Shepherd or a mix of Malinois and German Shepherd, or do you know?
I have no idea.
Big dog.
Yeah, good sized dog, yeah.
70 pounder.
I don't know its weight.
Wasn't a little munchkin dog, though. It was a full size German Shepherd.
It's a full size, yeah.
On the morning that you described going into the house, January 29th, 6:40 a.m. or so, you indicated that you burst into the bedroom to wake your sister and Brian Albert. Is that right?
Yes, I went into the bedroom.
It's still dark out, correct?
Yes.
There had been relative chaos on the lawn for a number of minutes, from about 6:10 until at least 6:40 when you went in. There were still emergency vehicles with lights on and engines running, and chaos, relative chaos, bedlam, as somebody has said, on that front lawn, correct?
Was more on their side lawn and down the street, kind of like all the cruises, a lot of them were behind their lot.
Right in front of 3430, correct?
To the side, in the side yard of 34 Fairview, yes.
And on the lawn of 34 Fairview?
Yes.
Where first responders were responding, correct?
Yes.
And you said my client was screaming to the top of her lungs, is that right?
Yes, she was.
And Carrie Roberts screaming back there?
Yes.
Shut up or shut the fuck up, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Then at 6:40 a.m., under the cover of darkness, you walked in the front door of the unlocked front door of Brian Albert's house, correct?
I went into my sister's house, correct.
It wasn't Brian Albert's house?
And Brian Albert, yes, I'm right. Sorry.
You then climbed the stairs up toward the bedrooms, correct?
Yes.
You walked into the bedroom door where Brian Albert and Nicole Albert, according to you, were sleeping. Is that right?
Yes.
So you would agree that you unexpectedly, in terms of their view, unexpectedly walked into their house basically in the middle of the night, middle of the morning.
Yes.
You indicated that when you went through their bedroom door, you sort of burst through, correct?
I opened the door. I don't know if I used the word burst.
You previously indicated that when you went through the door, it was chaotic because you were so amped up from the events. Is that right?
I don't know if I used those words.
Would you say that you were loud or quiet?
I think as I explained earlier, I was like where everything was going on around me, and I was kind of like in a state of shock. And I remember thinking, I don't want to startle them, but I have to wake them up, because obviously when I wake them up, they're going to be panicked and think something terrible happened.
Well, why didn't you want to startle them? Something terrible had happened.
I didn't want to give them a heart attack when I woke them up.
But you didn't walk up and just nudge them and say, hey, Nicole, honey, can you wake up or something you can talk about? You didn't do that.
No, I was like, Brian, Nicole, wake up.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. But you weren't saying it in that voice either. You were saying, Brian, Nicole, get up.
I'm not sure if it was that loud, but I definitely was definitely like trying to wake them up, yes.
What was the dog's reaction?
I don't recall seeing the dog.
So, according to you, to the dog at least, if we can get in the mind of a dog, a relative stranger walks in the front door, climbs a set of stairs, the house is completely dark, walks into a bedroom door and starts barking, the person starts barking, get up, wake up, Brian, Nicole, and you don't remember seeing or hearing a dog at all.
Objection.
Sustain.
As you indicated, it's not that the dog wasn't reactive, it's that you don't remember the dog even being there, correct?
I have no memory of the dog, no.
But you do know that that dog sleeps in Brian and Nicole's room, correct?
It may, I don't know for sure.
The reason you don't remember the dog being there is because the dog wasn't there, was it?
I don't remember the dog.
Right. So when you walked out of the room, when you walked in the house, Didn't see the dog?
No.
When you walked up the stairs, no dog?
No.
Walked down the hallway, no dog?
No.
Walked into Brian and Nicole's bedroom door, no dog?
I don't remember seeing the dog.
I realize that. Mm-hmm. Dog or no dog? No dog.
I don't remember seeing the dog. Doesn't mean it wasn't there or it was there. I just don't remember seeing it.
Well, you didn't. No dog came up to you and barked at you, correct?
No.
You didn't see or hear a dog whining or howling, did you?
No.
You didn't hear or see a dog scratching at the door?
No.
There's no sign of a dog at all in Brian and Nicole Albert's house at 6:41 a.m. when you walked into that house, correct? Or 6:40?
I don't remember seeing the dog.
And this was a 70-pound German Shepherd, correct?
I don't know the weight of the
dog. Have you ever heard a description given about that dog by Brian Albert, anybody else, that dog was not good with strangers?
Objection.
Did you know, as you said, you're very, very dear friends, and obviously dear friends with Brian Albert, relations with Nicole Albert, your sister, are you aware that that dog was not good with strangers?
Object.
Do you know that?
I don't. It wasn't good with other dogs is what I knew, so I could never bring my dog over there. That's all I know about the dog.
Right. Had some aggression, correct? At least with other dogs.
Possibly.
And when it came to Jen McCabe's interactions with investigators, things got even murkier. Alan Jackson dived right into Jen's past interviews, especially what Jen told the feds last April, when the feds showed up at her house and wanted to have a chat. Except it's important to know here, they were not referred to as the feds in front of the jury. Instead, they were called, quote, officers of a government agency.
Correct.
Completely separate agency, is that right?
Yes.
During the course of that interview, those officers informed you very specifically, Ms. McCabe, that it is a crime to lie to them even during an interview, correct?
Yes.
Those law enforcement officers informed you that they were investigating certain circumstances attendant to John O'Keefe's death, correct?
They were very vague on what they were.
Understood.
I don't know what they were investigating.
Okay. But you did understand that it was having something to do with your involvement at 34 Fairview on January 28th, 29th, 2022.
Objection.
As a witness or otherwise?
Objection.
Sustained as to certain terminologies.
Sure. Let me see if I can rephrase that, Ms. McCabe. You were aware of the subject matter of their interview, right? They weren't interviewing about a car you bought last year, correct?
Correct.
They were interviewing you about, basically, about what you're testifying to here, correct?
When I first spoke with them, the conversation was pretty vague.
But the subject matter, vague or specific, mm-hmm. was about this subject matter?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
They first contacted you telephonically, called you on the phone. Is that right?
Actually, they walked up to my car.
They walked up to your car?
Yes.
Okay, that was the very first introduction, correct?
Yes.
At that point, they had not identified themselves, correct?
They didn't know.
All right, and at that point, you told them that you were not Jennifer McCabe. They asked you who you were, and you said, I'm Nicole.
I thought they were, like, selling something, so I was like, oh, no, I'm not the homeowner.
Fair enough, fair enough. However, after they said, sorry, after you said, I'm not Jennifer McCabe, mm-hmm. you walked into the house, they then called you on the phone.
Yes,
correct. They were still sitting outside your house.
I don't know where they were, but they did call me.
They were close by.
I'm not aware.
Well, the call came almost immediately after you walked back in the house, correct?
I'm not sure how much time had passed.
Give me an idea. It wasn't an hour. It was
No, it was five soon after. I'm just not sure. I can't tell you where they were located. I'm sorry.
Okay. They told you that they would, at that point, they identified themselves as being law enforcement agents, correct?
When they called me, yes.
And they told you at that time that they were not with Canton Police, you knew at least, they were not with Canton Police Department, they were not troopers with Massachusetts State Police, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And they told you that they would like to have an interview with you, they'd like to have a sit-down talk with you, correct?
Yes.
You told them that you would be willing to submit to an interview, but you needed about 10 minutes to get ready, correct?
Yes.
You ultimately did allow them into your home, and you did sit down for a formal interview with them, correct?
Yes, brief, but yes.
And it was during that formal interview inside the home that it was explained to you that it would be a crime for you to lie to them on any material issue, correct?
Yes.
Did reviewing those paragraphs refresh your recollection as to whether or not, as to what you told those agents initially? I'm sorry, what you told those officers initially from that other law enforcement agency that about who you contacted in that 10-minute interval?
Yes, I told them.
And you told them that you had contacted your husband, Matt McCabe.
Yes.
And Carrie Roberts.
Correct.
I want to stick with that for just a quick second. One of the first calls you made after being contacted by this other law enforcement, these other law enforcement officers from a different agency, one of the first calls you made was to Carrie Roberts. Is that right?
She was the first one.
That's what I'm asking. One of the first two calls you made, your husband.
Right.
Come home, there's law enforcement outside my door, I'm guessing is what you said, correct?
I don't remember my exact words now, but I did ask him to come home, correct?
And yes. Carrie Roberts.
Okay, yes.
You wanted to let Ms. Roberts know that you had been contacted by certain officers from a different agency, correct?
I was curious if she, they had already been to her.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
You also wanted to find out, had these law enforcement officers from this different agency contacted her, correct?
Yes, because typically she's...
Ms. McCabe, yes or no?
Oh, sorry, I was just trying to explain.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Is that why you contacted her, to find out if, in fact, they had contacted her before you? Yes or no?
Yes.
And you also wanted to find out what she told them, if she had been contacted by them, correct? That was your motive in calling her?
No.
So you just wanted to find out, had she been contacted, yes. But if she had said yes, you weren't going to say, and what the hell did they say? What did they ask you?
Well, I can't say what I would have answered, what I would have asked her, but I know I was calling to see if they had been there. Yes,
that was correct. That was your intent?
I called to ask her if they had been there, yes.
So that was your intent, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Your motive in calling Carrie Roberts at that moment before your interview was to ensure that your story would line up with her story, Ms. McCabe. Isn't that right?
No, that is not.
You wanted to find out if she had talked to these particular law enforcement officers and what she had told them so that your story could somehow align, or it could inform how you responded to questions that they asked you. Isn't that true?
That's not true. We both know what happened. We don't have to have a story. There is no story. There's what happened, and that's it.
And here's where it gets interesting. Jen was asked if she contacted anybody after she knew she was going to sit down and talk with the feds. And Jen told the agents that she only spoke with two people before their interview, her husband, Matt McCabe, and her friend and fellow witness for the prosecution, Carrie Roberts. Problem. Actually, big problem. The phone records later show that she made several other calls to Peggy O'Keefe, who's John's mom, to a victim's witness advocate, and also to Brian Albert, who again is a Boston cop and the host of the house party that night, and Jen McCabe's brother-in-law. So when Jen McCabe failed to mention those other people that she called, like Brian Alpert and Peggy O'Keefe after asking the feds to give her 10 minutes before she agreed to speak with them? Karen's lawyer went for the jugular. He asked, quote, "So when you told the agency you only spoke with Matt and Carrie, that was a lie by definition." Jen said no, that she'd just forgotten. But Alan Jackson pushed back hard, asking, quote, "Is there some shade of lie that I'm not aware of?" End quote.
"There's nothing more than me calling and saying, hey, did they come to your house? That's what we did when the media showed up, when Ms. Reed's private investigator showed up. We just give each other the heads up, hey, somebody's coming. Because we're just like normal moms. We're not used to this."
"And that's helpful in making sure that the stories she tells are consistent with the stories you tell to different law enforcement agencies, correct?"
"No, we are not telling stories."
"So let her finish. You said no what?"
"I said no, we're not telling stories. We don't have to compare."
"You also testified in your direct examination, staying with Ms. Roberts for just a second, about a timeline that you and Ms. Roberts put together, correct?"
"Yes."
"That's another example of the two of you talking about your own perceptions and comparing and contrasting those perceptions and putting it down on paper, correct?"
"No, I..."
"Is that yes or no?"
"It's a no." "Okay. If you, can I explain or no?"
"I'm sure Mr. Brennan will have follow-up questions." "After you gave that answer to those law enforcement officers at that separate law enforcement agency, they asked you, was there anyone else that you contacted in that 10-minute period before we got a chance to talk to you?" "Mm-hmm." "And your answer was no, correct?"
"Correct."
"And that was a lie, correct?"
"It wasn't a lie, no."
"Was it true?"
Was it
the truth or a lie?"
"It wasn't a lie."
"Okay, so it was the truth. You had not spoken to any other person between the time they contacted you telephonically and you said, I need 10 minutes, and then they came in the door. During that arc of time, you didn't talk to anybody else and or contact anybody else other than Matt McCabe and Carrie Roberts. Now you're testifying that was a true statement."
I can't answer that yes or no.
"So pretty binary. Had you talked, well, let me ask you this. In point of fact, you did talk to other people. Did you contacted others in addition to Matt McCabe and Carrie Roberts, correct? Yes or no?"
"Yes, I did."
"Okay. So when you said no to the answer, did you contact anyone other than Matt and Carrie? That would be, by definition, Ms. McCabe, a lie, correct?"
"No."
"It's not a lie? Is there some shade of lie that I'm not aware of?"
"It's the way you're asking the question. If I could explain,
let me ask
it will make more sense to you."
"The agents asked you, I'm going to go over this one more time, then I'm going to move on. The agents asked you, in fact, did you contact anyone between the time we called you and set up the interview and the 10 minutes before we walked in the door? They asked you that question, correct?"
"The objection sustained. Watch the choice of language."
I'm sorry. I meant the law enforcement agency. That law enforcement agency, the members of that law enforcement agency contacted you. Mm-hmm. Sorry. They asked you who you had contacted between the time they first telephoned you and walked in the door 10 minutes later. Correct?"
"Correct."
"Okay. Data point number one. Data point number two. You told them Matt and Carrie, correct?"
"Correct."
"You had actually contacted, they then asked you, did you contact anyone else other than Matt and Carrie, correct?"
"Correct."
"And you said no. Is that correct?"
"At that moment, I said no, yes."
"Correct. At that, or any moment."
"No, at that moment, because they had just come in my house."
"I asked you,
only one person can talk at a time."
"You said the word no, correct?"
"She was finishing her answer.
I had said no because I'm going to be I was in a situation where there are two officers from a different agent had come in, were asking me questions, or they had said, can I come in and ask you questions? At first, I thought they were selling something. Then they identified themselves. I just dropped my kids off at school. Going to be completely honest, I hadn't brushed my teeth. So I kind of made some
Objection,
phone calls.
Your Honor. This is non-responsive.
So next question, Mr.
Thank you. Ms. McCabe, after you said no, that you hadn't contacted anybody else, those two law enforcement officers from that separate agency who had told you it was a crime to lie to them, they left, correct?
Yes.
Subsequent to that, Mr. McCabe, your husband...
Objection.
Sustained.
They left you their card so you could call them if need be, correct?
Yes, they did.
And you, in fact, did call them back, correct?
Yes, I did.
Without telling me the content of the conversation you had, did you have a conversation with Mr. McCabe?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you call them back and say, I'm calling you back because my husband told me that I lied to you, and I better clear that lie up.
So, sustain. Jurors, remember I told you before that only answers to questions are evidence? Be mindful of that.
May we
next, yes.
You ultimately called these officers back, correct?
Yes.
And you explained to them that you had been untruthful with them, correct?
I explained that I had forgotten to mention a couple of people that I had reached out to.
You had forgotten? Is that your testimony?
Yes.
You had forgotten. You remembered Matt and you remembered Carrie, but you had forgotten the others that you had just contacted maybe 30 minutes before.
Yes.
There were five people that you contacted, weren't there?
I contacted Matt.
Let's go through them. I'm
yeah.
Yes or no. You
know I know four off the top of my head.
Okay, let's go through them.
Okay.
You contacted your husband, correct?
Yes.
You contacted Carrie Roberts, correct?
Yes.
You contacted Peggy O'Keefe, correct?
Yes.
Then, Ms. McCabe, you contacted the district attorney's office, correct?
My witness advocate.
The district attorney's office.
My witness advocate who works for the district attorney's
thank
office.
Thank you, Ms. McCabe.
Yes.
And you also left out that you contacted Brian Albert himself, correct?
Yes, my brother-in-law.
For some reason, your brother-in-law, who's the 30-year Boston police detective, correct?
Yes.
And on whose lawn John O'Keefe was found dead or dying.
Objection.
I'll allow that.
Correct?
Yes.
For some reason, you did not want these officers to know that you had communicated specifically with Brian Albert, the homeowner, just before you talked to them. Correct?
No, incorrect.
There was some reason that was important enough for you to lie about that, even though you had been admonished that it's a crime to lie about that to those officers. Correct?
Incorrect. I didn't lie to them. I had forgotten who I had called.
And all of a sudden, you had an epiphany right after they walked out the door?
Yes. Matt said, who have you spoken to?
Objection.
I mean, yikes, that's pretty damning stuff. And some pretty good lawyering on Alan Jackson's part. And then all of a sudden, again, like really abruptly out of the blue, court adjourned for the day. But Alan Jackson said he still has a lot of questions for Jen McCabe. But there's no court scheduled for tomorrow, so you can bet that Alan Jackson will be up early and ready to go to continue his cross-examination of Jen McCabe on Friday. Oh, and there's this. I cannot forget this little courtroom curveball. Late in the day, Judge Beverly Cannone called a private sidebar. And this one was not just for the lawyers. She asked the public to amscray. Get out of the courtroom. And then she called in both legal teams and members of the O'Keefe and Reed families. And the cameras were shut off. Why? Why would the judge do this?
What a very strange sidebar. No one knows the answer, but the speculation is flying, whatever it was. Let's hope it was all on the actual court record. So by the end of day seven, Jen McCabe was still standing, but barely. I mean, she stuck to her story about that infamous Google search, how long to die in the cold, and she claimed she just forgot about calling key witnesses like Brian Albert and others. And she insisted that she never lied, not to the feds, not to the court, but Alan Jackson, he made some headway with her on that one. And the defense clearly got under Jen McCabe's skin. And with her cross-examination set to continue on Friday, it ain't over yet, folks. It ain't over yet. And we will be here for all of it. I'm Ashley Banfield. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe because I am dropping crazy bonus episodes all the time and I don't want you to miss them. So get on there and subscribe and also leave me comments. I really love hearing what you have to say. I like hearing your suggestions too. And I don't mind when you tell me what I'm doing wrong. I like that too. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, the truth isn't just serious. It's drop dead serious.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.